Hello and welcome to Hoops Temple's Top 100 Hanukkah Series. Aaron, aka Possible Chairs, and myself, Nate Schwartz, we've been working very hard on this since pretty much the season started. If you want, you can go back and check on our earlier episodes. We ranked players by positions. It's referenced a lot, but totally not needed. We make new arguments. We talk about new things. Here is our 1 through 20 list. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We hope you enjoy 1 through 20. 21 through 40 coming up tomorrow.
You ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've done point guards. We've done power forwards. We've done small forwards, shooting guards, and centers. But now is time for the top 100.
We're putting it together, Emmy style. With nominations from each position.
Yeah. Our first five nominations. I'm gonna love this practice. Coming in from the point guard position, we have Magic Johnson. From the shooting guard position, we have Michael Jordan. From the small forward position, we have LeBron James. From the center position, we have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And because we're glutton for punishment and moved Tim Duncan to the center position, our power forward nomination is Karl Malone.
Karl Malone, the best power forward ever.
I mean, this does give us an opportunity to shit on Karl Malone for like the next 2 hours and just keep picking guys over him.
It's going to be a while.
But I want to let you know, because I don't usually wear a uniform because I'm a man in my 30s and whatnot. But I had to break out the Lakers 23 for today's thing. I do have the Bulls 23 hanging right here.
Okay.
Behind me, so.
Do you have a special selection you'd like to nominate for number one?
Michael Jordan.
I think it should be Michael as well. And we've been in lockstep about that for a while. Jordan being the best player ever. It's the 6 titles, the defensive player of the year, all the finals MVPs, the 10 straight scoring titles. If you wanted to win a championship in the 90s, there was one guy who could do it every single year he played, Michael Jordan.
It's an interesting case that LeBron now has. Because he 100% has longevity. Longevity is his, and he probably has the greatest longevity of any other player. But I think we both value peak over longevity. And if you look at it and say, hey, what were these guys' best 3 years like? What were the best 5 years like? Jordan's best 5 years, he walks away with a title. LeBron's best 5 years, he walks away with 4 titles. Like, I hate the 6-0 argument. Mm-hmm. Because I do genuinely think making 10 finals is probably more impressive than winning 6.
It's about equal. It's about equal.
It's about equal, at least. And at this point, I don't know, even if LeBron were to have a masterful season and they won another title, I'm still not sure that moves him past Jordan. Just because the way and level at which Jordan dominated, it's just greater. There's not really an argument. You can say that LeBron is a better passer, a better rebounder. You know the How I Met Your Mother clip?
I do not.
There's a kid arguing with Marshall Erickson, and he's like, LeBron's a better rebounder and passer than Jordan. And Erickson's like, let me finish. Will you let me finish? Call me when he has 6 championship rings.
I have heard that. I have heard of that. That's it.
That was like 6 years ago, 7, 8. I don't know how many years ago that clip was, but it's still semi-true. If you line them up and you look at who's got more skills, who is better in a game of one-on-one, who's better with 5 other individuals, I think it's LeBron James. But if you look at what they did on the basketball court, and if you look at them relative to their eras, which I think is how we really appreciate it, Jordan is better, and I don't think the level of era differences is enough to knock Jordan back yet. You know, like we can look at, hey, Mike can absolutely dominate his era. There's enough qualms with the era that move away from that discussion.
LeBron has that longevity. We know that going forward. And that gap is only going to increase to astronomical levels as LeBron plays till he's however old. My issue being LeBron doesn't have the grip on the NBA like Michael did. There's no point where it's just, oh man, LeBron, he's going to win the title this year. Like, good luck stopping him. He gets 2 in a row. He gets the back-to-back. He has 11, 12, 13, 14 with the appearances. He strings all the finals appearances together. Michael's winning them, though. It's 2 three-peats. that's what's so impressive.
And I should say there are some cap shenanigans that work differently for the two of them. And I think this is something that a lot of people don't understand. When Jordan retired and came back, the Bulls were able to refill his cap space and then sign him over and above the cap because they had his rights. Technically, it's a great move. More players should do it. They should just take a year off, let their team re-sign a bunch of players, fill that cap space, come back.
Yeah. Come on, LeBron. Why haven't you done that yet? Take a year off, load your team up.
It really helps Jordan in the second three-peat. On the flip side, the cap spike allowed Kevin Durant to join the Warriors, which presented its problems for LeBron.
LeBron does run into the greatest team of the past 20 years. And that's something him battling those guys helps him, though. I think more than hurts him.
Yeah.
Are we comfortable with a Jordan-LeBron 1-2?
I'm comfortable with it, but I really want to say to anybody that listens to this, like, if you have LeBron 1, I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah, I never would.
It's such a slim margin at this point. Did you see the dumb thing that Charles Barkley said when asked about LeBron moving past Kareem on the all-time scoring list?
I did not.
So I saw it because people on TikTok were quoting it and saying it was a really smart, good question. It's not. Barkley says, well, LeBron came in straight from high school, so what he's doing is kind of less impressive because he's been able to play more than Kareem. Kareem had to go to college. LeBron didn't. So Barkley suggests that they should go by how many games it took to get to this point. LeBron has played 150 less games than Kareem. Like, he came in younger, yes, but he's also played fewer games. And the longevity, like, the high scoring is not purely longevity because he is also doing this at a faster rate than Kareem, than Kobe, than, like there is both high level and longevity there.
Absolutely. I have no qualms about the scoring title he's going to own. Kareem played until he was 7,000 years old, grabbing like 4 rebounds a game just to score points. LeBron can play until he's 50, and I wouldn't have an issue.
So that eliminates the number one shooting guard and the number one small forward. If we lock it at 1 and 2, the number two point guard is Mr. Steph Curry, and the number two small forward is Larry Bird, Larry Legend. So we currently have 5 players on the docket to choose from: Kareem, Magic, Carl, Bird, and Curry. Who are you nominating for 3?
This should be Kareem's spot. We talked about the scoring title that he currently owns, the individual dominance mixed with the team success. There's a 6 MVPs and 5 titles, correct?
Yes.
And this is usually where people put him. 6 and 6. Is it 6 and 6?
5 with Lakers, 1 with Milwaukee.
That's
6 and 6.
6 and 6. Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah. Only 2 finals MVPs, though.
That's true. That is true. And you can totally hold that against him. Career averages of 24.5 points and 11 rebounds over 1,500 games. And the shot blocking is there as well. If you keep track, if you go back and fill in the 4 seasons that are missing, he's number 1 in blocks. He's ahead of Hakeem. And of course, then you can go further back and thrust one with Will. But there's a defensive aspect plus the offense. He's just a dominant player.
Also, they don't bring in Defensive Player of the Year until 1982. Kareem has 5 All-NBA first teams. The defensive first team center generally wins Defensive Player of the Year.
He'd have a few at least.
It's hard to say that he would definitively have them. I went through and looked. He led the number one defense a couple of times in there, but it's very likely that in 1980 at least, he takes Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, and it just runs the gauntlet. DPOY, MVP, and probably would have taken Finals MVP if there wasn't the collusion.
Absolutely. He would have, he gets that level where he's the best defensive player, the best offensive player, the best player on the best team. That sounds like the third best player of all time. You add in that longevity, one of top 5 longevity all time. Top 5 longevity sounds good.
Top 5 longevity combined with a top 5 peak. One of the things that I really kind of learned when I was digging into Kareem even more is from the moment he shows up, he's in title contention. This isn't LeBron James going to the playoffs to cheer on Carmelo Anthony in his first year. And that is the difference. Coming from high school, you're not ready. Coming from 4 years of college, he hits the league and only loses to the 70s Knicks in the playoffs. And he gives them a run for his money before Oscar gets there. On the downward slope, 74, he's giving the Celtics, I mean, he pushes them to game seven. Yes, he only gets one ring before Magic, but he is in title contention on his own.
He on his own, Kareem is good enough to win a title to be on one of the five best teams in the league. And you add Magic, and that gives you a dynasty, and that's just how basketball works, man.
And him missing the playoffs twice before Magic, once he missed a good number of games, and they went like 3-18 without him, 3-15 without him, missed it by two games. Second time, divisional thing, you had to be top two in your division or the wild card. He was third in his division, but better than every other team in the other division in the Western Conference. So there's like two teams that get into the playoffs with like 30 and 50 records. It's just, you know, probably not how you should do playoffs.
They're strange playoff misses in a sense, where he's not, at no point is even Kareem on his worst years is still on a good team, or mostly an average team.
Yeah. My one person I would consider nominating over Kareem, we had the debate on the Centers pod, but I would nominate him as number four. It'd be our second center off the board, and that is Bill Russell.
I love the placement. That's where I've had him for a long time. To many people's chagrin, I've had to defend that.
If you're listening and you're saying, Bill over Wilt, Bill over so, go listen to our centers pod. If you're just discussing centers, we discuss it in depth. For the sake of the top 100, I'm just going to reference the other pod. Go check it out.
It's a great pod. We have some good centers talk there.
Yeah.
Russell's winning is second to none. And it's not, although I made a video a while back saying something along the lines of, when the average fan sees Russell win 11 titles, and I've done it myself, and most people do it when they get into basketball, they assume something is wrong, that they're not legitimate titles, that some outside force had to have caused this insane dynasty, because there's no way there's someone or a team good enough to make that happen. But eventually you just realize that all the players on that team are as good as we think they are, including Russell, and there's no way you win 11 titles without one of the five best players on Earth.
Yeah, it's incredibly close. There are a lot of really close times that they could have lost, and they find a way. And in looking through his 10 game sevens, most of the time it's because Russell came through. You know, there are times where his teammate, Sam Jones, has a fantastic finals in there. Tommy Heinsohn has a marvelous finals in there.
That's what it takes to win 11 titles, though. Maybe there's a universe where Sam Jones doesn't do that, or Tommy Heinsohn doesn't do that, and Russell just has like six titles. That's still really good, and that's what one Bill Russell will get you. He's the most dominant defensive player ever, leading the best team year by year.
I will also say that the style of basketball in that era was so fast-breaking, so free-flowing, that his ability to stop it and to be a defensive clog and to get back on defense and take away shots at the rim, it is a lot more valuable than a lot of players' offense in that day. Because that offense is, I'm just going to run up the court and shoot because I'm going to catch it and I'm open. So there's not as much like dribble shot creation. Wilt was dragged by his own teammates as well as the Celtics for how slow he would get up and down the court. Wilt at one point said like, yeah, if you gave me Kuzi and these guys, I'd win. And Kuzi's response is, nah, I'm not waiting for his slow ass to get up and down the court.
Bill played the style of the 60s perfectly. His ability to run the fast breaks like you're talking made him valuable on offense. That was, he played within that team so well.
Yeah.
Basically perfectly.
I want to say, in my view of this, there's the LeBron-Jordan tier, flip-flop at one and two. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Kareem and Russell tier, where you can get creative to make an argument that one of them could be the GOAT or one of them could be higher than the other two. But you have to get creative. And then I think there is a little bit of gap between the guys that I would call five, six, and seven.
I think you get to. I had made a video. I make a lot of videos. So I'm gonna say I say that all the time. Where I said it's LeBron and Michael as one and two. Like I don't want to hear Kareem as number one or Kareem as number two. You'd be too like be fucking for real, man. Like it's not. There are two people who have been at a higher level as anybody else, and it's LeBron and it's Michael. And then you take a step down.
Can I maybe do something semi-surprising?
Go ahead.
I would like to nominate Tim Duncan for number five.
Really? What changed? And I'm saying that because I know you've had Shaq as your number five in the last Matrix edition and you liked it. And I was okay with it. So what changed for you?
Well, so actually, Magic Johnson's number 5, Last Matrix. Shaq is number 6.
Okay.
The more I look into Duncan, just the more impressed I am. And I also kind of like the idea of the top 5 telling a story. And the story begins in the 60s with Bill Russell. And then it's continued when he passes the torch to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Jabbar plays pretty much through the Lakers dynasty to almost when the Bulls dynasty begins. Yeah. And then the Bulls dynasty ends right before Duncan gets his first ring. And Duncan carries it through to LeBron. And if you just wrote the story of those 5 players and their championships and their legacy, you know NBA history.
Absolutely. I love how that works out. I was looking at Duncan's playoff resume last night, actually. From 99 to 2007, he picks up 4 rings. And in the playoffs, is 24 points, 13 rebounds, almost 4 assists, and 3 blocks on 50% shooting. I've been debating a lot of Garnett and Dirk stuff on my TikTok. I think Dirk is just Duncan is the combination of those two. You get the defensive mm-hmm. anchor. You get even better rebounding than both those guys had, plus the ability to lead a team on offense well, a contending team on offense well, gets you 4 rings and a 5th later down the line.
Yeah, he doesn't have the Finals MVPs he should, which is kind of a shame. He also doesn't have any Defensive Player of the Years, which is just absolutely wild.
Yeah, because the voting was so fucking stupid. They were getting Bruce Bowen votes over him. Bruce Bowen was second in MVP voting, like 3 times, second in Defensive Player of the Year voting, like 4 times, and Duncan's like 10th. They had no idea where the Spurs defense was coming from. It's like, hey, it turns out like the really tall guy with long arms
that protects the rim.
That protects the rim is more valuable than like your 20, like than your 3-and-D guy. No yeah. shit.
I kind of looked at it and I'm like, all right, we know everyone's rings count, but how many almost rings? Like how close did you get to getting another ring?
Duncan's real close to 6-0.
Well,
real close.
And so Duncan's hurt in 2000, so he doesn't get a chance to defend his title.
That's a good point.
And you know, that version of Dave Robinson, he was going downhill, but in 2000, Dave Robinson was still pretty good.
Pretty good. Great defensive center.
I think if we only got Duncan in 2000, maybe the Lakers don't get another ring. Maybe he takes one off Shaq. And that 2000 run is a seminal moment because it's how I became a basketball fan. My family had recently moved from Pasadena, California, to Indiana, and we're at my mom's like extended family's like family reunion. Like I'm talking like third, fourth cousins there, and we're just known as the LA family. And so everyone's like trying to talk smack of, oh, Rick Smith's gonna dunk all over Shaq.
Didn't happen.
Did not go that way.
That was a great finals for you.
Yeah, but I mean that's how I became a basketball fan. Is everyone was talking smack to the kid from LA? Dumb move on their part, but you know, David Robinson in the 2000 playoffs, they get swept, but he's basically 24-14 with 3 blocks. Like, you add Duncan to that team, and that they're gonna make a run of it. 2006, if you don't have the Phantom Manu Ginobili foul that kind of breaks up their three-peat, there's a really good chance that Duncan has a three-peat on his resume. It's not just the 5 rings. It's he got 5, but if we replay his career, we could look at 8.
Absolutely. Like he's closer to 8 than he is to less than 5. Really quickly, 2002, 2003, Duncan plays 33 playoff games. He's 25-15 with 5 assists and 3.5 blocks. I remember you talked about Duncan a while back saying he didn't really have the statistical dominance like Shaq, which is still true because Shaq reaches absurd stat sheet numbers. That's pretty close. 25-15-5, 3.5 blocks. That sounds like the best player in the world at the time.
Yeah. So are we okay with Duncan at 5?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Well,
I think you look at like when we're doing these rankings, I look for players that I can argue for because I'm going to make videos on this. Duncan has so few holes. Every big moment he's there. Every moment that he doesn't win is explainable. That sounds like a great number 5 for me.
You know, the 0.4 second Derek Fisher shot, one of the greatest moments of my fandom, one of the most unbelievable shots that disrupts another title. Like there's that.
What year is that?
That's 2004. Duncan wins in 03, That shot takes him out in 04. 06, we have the Manu Ginobili phantom foul. But
it's, he won in 05.
He won in 05, 07, and 03, and has two really weird fluke things to stop 04 and 06. Like, Duncan makes it out of the second round all but 3 years. Like, from, well, I guess four, because he doesn't make it in 2000 because he's injured. But from 98 to 16, he's a staple in at least the second round, which is kind of wild.
And he's putting up numbers, too. Like, 2013 finals, at age 36, he's 19 points, 12 boards, an assist and a half.
Yeah.
And that's not just, that's not him riding coattails or just getting a ring at the end. He's the driving force on a team that's really well designed, but he's still there, even as late as 2015, age 38. They do lose to the Clippers, but he's 18 points and 11 boards and 3 assists. Like, he is so good, so effective. Up until the end, you know, age 39 season, he tails off, but he's 39 and he's been playing so much for so long. I'm not going to look at that season and say, oh, well, X, Y, and Z. They got LaMarcus Aldridge and they toned his minutes back down.
Yeah. All right. So, boom, Duncan, locking in 5. That leaves us with still number 1 point guard, Magic Johnson on the board. Number 4 center, Shaquille O'Neal on the board. Number 2 small forward, or Larry Bird. Number 2 shooting guard, Julius Erving. Sorry, man, I cannot read. Oh my God. All right. It's just a spreadsheet. It's cross look. We got Magic, Shaq, Bird, Kobe, and Karl Malone. Who's your nomination for 6?
You know the meme with the 3 dragons and like the one in the middle is like kind of goofy. Karl Malone's that dragon.
I personally love that we've done this now, because we could just keep, you know, referencing like one of these things is not like the other.
I would nominate Magic.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I would like to push back and nominate Shaq.
It was him or Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Why Shaq over Magic for you?
Shaq is the most dominant force and completely unstoppable. Magic runs a really good team, and is very important to said team. But I don't know that he is unstoppable in the same way that Shaq is. I think that three-peat, teams just could not defend Shaq. Teams had to dramatically alter the shape of their roster, how they built teams. And there are not that many talented seven-footers. We can discuss the fact that the center era ended at Shaq, and the center era ended because you couldn't post up Shaq. You had to step out. Seven-footers didn't get less talented. They developed different talents. That's why Garnett does what Garnett does, and why Dirk steps out and does Dirk things. And like, the evolution away from the basket is because of Shaq. It's not like these power forwards existed in a vacuum. We don't hit the greatest era of power forwards because that just happened. It happened because of Shaq.
I think I like it. I thought about Shaq, but I usually have Magic at 5. We ended up going Duncan, so I figured 6 would be probably good. But Shaq is just immediately good from his he takes the Magic to the finals at age 22, leads the league in scoring. And then he kind of battles some injuries, but as soon as he gets those right, the second he gets those put together, the Lakers are the best team in the world. And they have Kobe, and that helps. But that's the amount of talent it takes to win 3 straight titles.
They also have Glenn Rice, which, shout out Glenn Rice, does not get enough appreciation.
Great player.
And for that 2000s run, like, it was my first year watching basketball. I didn't know who he was. The more you dig into NBA history, Glenn Rice was truly a phenomenal player.
I'd rather have Glenn Rice than Sean Marion.
I don't think that's wrong.
You would take the Glenn Rice has a few years where he's like just one of like the best scoring wing in the league.
So who do you think is a better offensive force, Shaq or Magic? Because Magic ran that fast break and pushed the tempo and created a lot of offense that way, and Shaq just pummeled through people and wasn't stoppable that way. In your mind, is like, how do you parse those two?
I personally would take Magic because he's able to be the best player in the world without really being good on defense at all. What's kind of lost in Magic's retirement is he was almost at his peak in those years right at the end. He started scoring at a level he hadn't yet when Worthy starts to get old and Kareem breaks down. They don't bring in somebody else to handle that load. It's really Magic that sees an uptick in his scoring. And he's still getting 11, 12 assists per game. And he still has the NBA record for assists per game for his career. And with that, he's still 20 points per game. And the Lakers are the best offense in the league.
That 91 final, or that 91 playoff run is really fun to look back at the numbers.
He's fantastic. I think that's arguably the best part of his career. I point at like Magic's apex. I'd be like, it's this last season. Or is that second to last?
It's his, well, he's got the comeback season. He's so got second the comeback, to last.
But I think he was arguably at his best and right before he retires.
But I'm just going to read some numbers from that 91 run because I think they're Please fun. Do. Second game of the playoffs against Houston, 13 points, 21 assists.
Jeez.
Just diming them. So he hits you with that. Game three, it's a best of three, or it's a best of five. So it's their chance to put away Houston. They take away his passing, only 7 assists this game. Hits him with the 38 points on 14 for 20 shooting. Couple games, or starts off the Golden State Warriors series with just a cool 21, 17, and 10. Nice little triple-double. Second game, they lose this game, which is just wild that they lose this game. But he puts up 44 points, 9 assists, and 12 rebounds. Like, prime Magic could do it all. And I think if we had gotten to see more of it, if AIDS hadn't happened, or HIV hadn't happened, I'd take him over Shaq. I think the stuff that we never got to see is probably as tantalizing and as exciting as the stuff we did. But
I think there's a real argument. And I've said this before. If Magic doesn't get HIV, he is the greatest player ever. The resume he has is good enough to be one of the 5 best players of all time, and he retired at age 31. Yeah. Steph Curry was 31 in 2020, if Steph just hung it up after the COVID year. And that's it. That's all you got to see. And Magic had done so much more. They had a great team, but arguably with less, without Klay or Draymond or Durant.
Yeah, I think Duncan, Shaq, and Magic could be anyone's 5. And I think they should be 5 through 7. And I'm enjoying putting these tiers out there because I think people will try to argue certain players over them. I don't see there's an argument for the guys behind them, but I do see some interchangeability within those tiers.
Our next nominations are, we have Steph, Kobe, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, and Wilt.
Isn't it so much fun to just make fun of Karl Malone?
It's great because if we have him as the number one center, we also get to make fun of him the whole way.
Yeah, should have done this a long time ago.
This gets interesting. I have 2 people in mind.
Okay.
I'd like to go with Larry Bird. How do you feel about that?
Talk to me about Bird.
We talked about Michael having a grip on basketball, and I think Bird has that as well from 85 to 89. And he wins the 3 straight MVPs, but arguably 88. I said 89 again. 88 is his best year. He doesn't even MVP that year, but he had won the three prior. You get the rings, you get the finals appearances, you get the individual dominance. It's all there for Bird. What do you think?
It hurts me a little bit as a Kobe fan and just in general a Lakers fan to take Larry Bird over Kobe, but I think there's an argument there.
I don't think Kobe gets to that level that Bird does in just a 4-year stretch of the 3 MVPs and the finals appearances. And another thing to note about Bird is he has 1, 2, 3, 4 other second place finishes for MVP, a third place, and another fourth place. If Larry Bird is playing basketball, he's one of the 5 best players in the world, and or even higher than that.
I think you're right. I will put up Kobe's 08, 09, 10,
yeah.
Which, you know, you'd also probably toss 7 in there where he doesn't have the team success to win MVP. But I mean, Kobe's on pretty bad teams in 06 and 07 and is still top 5 in MVP finishes, which is just not typical of the era. He wins MVP in 8, 2nd in 9, 3rd in 10. And I really do think that there's a three-peat in Kobe there as the best player.
I think so too. It's possible. That's probably why he's going to be the next player we take.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, just talking about, could they have won more rings? Is their career like, hey, they barely got some? Or is their career, they got these and they could have gotten more? You know, Kobe has 2 rings as Shaq's second fiddle. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's that debatable. I think 2000 and 2001, like 2000, Kobe is not on this plane. Kobe is not in this level. 2001, Kobe is a really high all-star level, but not like, I mean, I think he's actually second team All NBA in both these seasons, but it's a weird, there's not many shooting guards. Then 2002, I think that is as close to Shaq as he ever is. 2004, that really could have been Kobe's chance to surpass Shaq. He has a really rough playoffs.
He does.
That's probably why they lose more so than anything else. But, you know, he's leaving rings on the table. Bird is leaving rings on the table against the Lakers. I could take him either way. I love Kobe at eight because Kobe wore eight, and I'm just a sucker. Like, I'll make a case for Kevin Garnett at 21. Just you wait.
Just to have it.
Yeah.
I think it's part of Kobe's rings. For someone with five rings, he doesn't have that many great finals performances.
No, it is a little rough.
Yeah. And I think that kind of speaks to, like, yeah, he could have gotten more, but he also could have gotten less. And maybe he doesn't, as you know, it's the five rings is a little see-through in a sense. The 2001, he's hurt. He's not really contributing. 2001, he's playing really well, but it's still Shaq. 2002, he's awesome. 2004, he's horrible. 2008, he's pretty good. I'd say that's it for in Kobe terms. Like, if this is just how people played in the finals, it's still unbelievable. But we're talking about the 10 greatest players ever. 2010 is I mean, they beat Boston in seven, but what swings that series isn't really anything Kobe does. It's Perkins getting hurt and Pau Gasol just dominating down there.
I really wish, because you see this with a lot of these top 10, top 15 guys, they have this magical run when they're younger. The, like, they shouldn't be this good. The early Thunder run, the Orlando Magic Shaq, the 86 Hakeem Olajuwon series, where it's like, oh, damn, when this guy has the right team around him. And it gets a little bit hidden for Kobe because he is 21 in 2001. Sorry, 21 in 2000. He is 22 in 2001. And like, he kind of is having those runs where,
like, what?
They're too early,
yeah.
But they're hidden. If we just look at his final stats, though, versus Bird, Kobe is 25-6-5 with 41% field goal percentage. Bird, 23, almost 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and basically 46% from the field. I think it's the right move to go Bird over Kobe. And I know I've just been arguing for Kobe, but I at least want to open the floor up to discuss the other couple of guys here, because we're getting real close to rounding out top 10. There's Steph Curry and there's Wilt that are in this level, and I think we should start having the conversation around all of them here, maybe after Bird.
What about Karl Malone? He's the best power forward ever.
We can start having the Karl Malone discussion once we get into 18, that range.
I think 18. Maybe a little earlier.
No, I think 18 is the right age. You should probably wait till you're 18 to discuss. Oh, did I say age? I mean position ranking.
That's funny.
Shoot, that's not. I didn't mean to make that joke.
I'm taking Kobe over Wilt.
Sure, fair. What about Kobe over Curry? Actually, before you do that, why Kobe over Wilt? Because I think we both agree. But when we have these discussions, It's
the fun. Winning, man. Kobe gets you on, makes your team good. Wilt does not guarantee your team's good. You gotta have a little bit more than that. There's two things I want to say. The first relevance what we're talking about. I have a rule of five. When we get to the top 10, you have to have at least a combination of five rings and MVPs. It just works. You want people to have the individual and team success. And it's the only way to keep Hakeem out of the top 10. It's the best. I'm just like, rule of five. Can't put him in.
Oh, my God. I was hoping to maybe get a little bit more because, like, this is a real thing. And you and I are both very internet-involved people. You, yeah. What's your TikTok following at right now? 25,000?
22 and a half.
30,000? 22 and a half?
Yeah.
My God, you're slipping.
I know. What's going on? No one likes me anymore.
You got to stop bashing on people. This is why you're slipping, is you're not giving Hakeem the love.
I know, what's up with that? No, I just, really quickly about that, it just plateaus. Like, I get like five new followers a day. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's slow and steady.
I think being a constant playoff presence is really important. And we can look at and say, hey, they didn't have the teammates around them. We're not talking about winning a championship. We're talking about being in the playoffs. And that is a pretty middling bar. to be, you know, in some points in NBA history, looking at you, Wilt, 60% of the team, 70% of the teams made the playoffs.
And he's not one of them.
Hakeem, there are points in the playoffs where they're taking eight teams and four teams are missing it. You have a two-thirds chance to make the playoffs. I'm not saying you need to be, you know, dominant.
I'm not going to ask where the Rays are, but make the playoffs.
And like, Hakeem makes the playoffs and gets, you know, out in four, out in three. Like, is it too much to ask that you are, you know, a 500 team? Is it like too much to ask that one of these years where you're on your own, because the playoffs are that low of a bar at this point, like, make it?
1965, Wilt and the Warriors are 11-33 before they trade him. That's not just like a middling team. That's not just a regular team. That's the worst team in the league. There's no way one of the 10 best players that have ever played basketball can play every single game and be the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Even Curry with the 2020 Warriors, like the introduction of the play-in, and he's just around. There's no Clay, and the roster is just completely depleted. If Curry had more time, I think he had still had some injuries. That team makes the playoffs. And it's just Curry and basically no one else. That's Curry on a bad roster equals like a 45-win team.
In 91, the Rockets win 50 games and get swept in the first round.
By the Jazz.
By Magic.
Oh, no.
No, by Magic, James Worthy, and Vlade Divac, who's not having a bad series. Guess who else isn't having a bad series? Sam motherfucking Perkins. I'm sorry, I will always love the fact that Hakeem can't beat Sam Perkins.
The defensive issue with Hakeem, you can look back at Bill Russell and just track the centers he played against and be like, yeah, that guy shot like 30% from the field because Bill Russell's guarding him. You can't really do that for Hakeem. And that's why I tend not to value not that I don't value defense, but it's just not as important. And I made a video today arguing Dirk over Garnett because I said being able to lead a team on offense and just dominate a playoff series is the most valuable thing you'll ever have. You can play as the best defense you want. Defense of an individual does not hold the weight that offense ever will. And so you look at Hakeem, like, oh, look at him, all the steals, all the blocks. And yet when the Lakers come to town with Vlade has a good series. He plays fine. Like, it's not going to be as impactful.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think that's something that's kind of missed with Hakeem is he doesn't play against that many great centers in the playoffs.
No, he doesn't.
Like, he makes Dave Robinson look small. He has a good series against Patrick Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I should probably flip that. It's probably even better against Patrick than it is against David. And I've said my Shaq over Hakeem in the 95 finals. Old heads who have watched it tell me I'm wrong and I don't understand Hakeem's impact. I've watched a couple of the games, never like sat down, studied it, wrote out notes. All I can say is like, he's not stopping Shaq.
No one is. Shaq is going to get, he gets like, he's like 30-10 with five assists.
Really, we're just looking at two series where he had really good playoff performances against centers, which is a relatively small sample size.
He goes up against great teams, but that's why, I mean, everything you could say to benefit Hakeem is why he's going to be like number 11 or number 12 on this list. He is still that good, but I think we always have more negative things to say because
the internet is so high.
Because the internet will tell you he's like the fifth best player ever, the fourth best player ever. I've seen him as high as three, and I just, holy shit, like, what is happening?
No, Hakeem is amazing to watch. He's super fun. He is big man Kyrie Irving from just like a talented move, a fluidity standpoint. Like, before I waded into these waters, I was a huge Hakeem guy. From just like a, if I had to rank my favorite players, like Hakeem would be up there. Mm-hmm. I love Hakeem tape. But the performance does not match the production. So we still have Kobe, kind of talked about at nine. How would you feel about Curry over Kobe?
I still feel like it's just too soon for Curry. Curry's on his way. I think that'd be a little bit predictive.
I don't know if you know this, but Curry is on pace to have his best season ever, averaging 33 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists at the time of this recording on October 20th, 2022.
That does change things.
That would be a new high in points per game and rebounds per game.
Curry's going to have a great season. He's going to be really good for a long time. He's going to pass Kobe. He's going to pass Bird and Magic. And he's going to be probably one of the five best players ever, if given longevity. But just not yet. Because, I mean, Curry, of all the greats, is arguably the least impactful to start. Even with Kobe, like, really getting a slow start because he's, like, 14 years old. Too old for Carmelo. But it's still...
Kobe was playing Eric Snow in games of one-on-one at the Sixers practice facility that lasted for 2 hours because they were playing win by two, and Kobe wouldn't give up, and Eric Snow wouldn't give up. Like,
yeah. Eric Snow. Where's Eric Snow on our list? Curry isn't really Curry. He has it's a slow start, and then the ankle injuries, and as soon as he gets clicking, the dynasty starts. There's no really, like, years prior to that, like Shaq has with Orlando before the three-peat. Curry isn't very good. Then they're good in 2014, and then he's just one of the best players on earth. And so we're still looking at, I guess, an 8-year stretch. Not enough.
Also, I'm sorry, not Eric Snow. Trying to figure out who it was. So he was the sixth man of the year when Kobe.
Aaron McKee. Like,
no, because Kobe was in high school. Also, it's, gosh, was it like Ricky Pierce or something? It got to be a little bit older, because Snow and Kobe were in the same draft. I'm forgetting the story. But it's just one of the his dad was working in 76ers. Great story. But I botched it. Yeah, can't speak. All right, so Kobe at 9. Of all of these guys, Wilt, Hakeem, Curry, is there one that you like at 10?
I like Curry here. I think that's the right spot.
Love it.
Undoubtedly a winning player. There is not a question, like, you cannot question Steph as the best player on your team. You're making the playoffs. You're probably winning a playoff series. You're the title favorites. And he's had great teams around him, but he's proved it both in 2015 that he doesn't need KD. And then he proved again in 2022 that he doesn't really need Klay or Draymond either. Now, they're on the team, but they're not nearly as good as they were. But it's still Steph Curry being the best player in the finals again.
Yeah. All right. So that gives us our fifth place center, Wilt Chamberlain, our third place small forward, Julius Erving, our third place point guard, Oscar Robertson, our number one power forward, Karl Malone, and our number three shooting guard, Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. Love the shooting guard position. Curry's, really quickly, we talked about finals averages. Curry's played in six. He's won four. 27 points, 6 boards, 6 assists on 43% shooting. The shooting efficiency takes a little bit of a dip. Because 2016 is a pretty bad finals, but he's definitely had more good finals than bad finals. I'll tell you that.
You're telling me that the 10th best player in NBA history is good at basketball?
I think he is. That gives us, so it's, let me do this. Oscar, Wade, Dr. J, Karl Malone, or Wilt. How do you feel about a Wilt Chamberlain at number 11?
I think Wilt is the right move here.
I think Wilt, so. You feel the tier shift between great players and, like, historically great players.
Yeah. I really do appreciate where you were at against your own era type of dominance. And we're starting to get a lot of guys kind of in certain eras. We've gotten a couple guys off the board for the 80s, one of the top eras. We got a couple guys from the aughts. We now have a couple guys from the 10s in both LeBron and Curry, and I think it's probably time to have the second best player from the 60s, and that's Wilt Chamberlain.
I agree. Wilt, the second best player of the 60s.
All right, so our top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell, Tim Duncan, Shaq, Magic, and Bird. I'm right next to each other. I usually try to argue for a little separation, but Magic, 7, Bird, 8, Kobe, 9, Steph, 10, and now we have Wilt at 11.
Wilt at 11. That gives us...
That adds Hakeem now as the highest ranking center on the board. We have Julius, Oscar, Hakeem, Carl, and Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. I think the Wade one's funnier than the Carl Malone one. Because with Carl Malone, you could argue for, like, top 15. Wade's just not close to that.
My Matrix does really love Carl Malone. It's taken some finagling to figure out how to devalue his accomplishments. Because 2 MVPs... Multiple finals runs, great, great deep playoff runs multiple times, as well as just an amazing career longevity. You know,
can I offer?
No, you must stick to the five. we built this out.
I'm not going any different. I'm just saying the four-time MVP, three-time champ, Dr. J.
I love it.
The next small forward up.
When you look at basketball history, it's a real shame that there is the ABA-NBA divide. Because you can... So, and looking at Irving, it's a real shame there is the NBA-ABA divide. But he is probably the second best player of the 70s. You got to do little bit of chicanery with the numbers because the ABA doesn't have as many bigs, so wings do a lot more rebounding. They also don't have as much depth, so stars are playing more and getting more touches, and so their scoring is a little bit inflated. But it's pretty clear it's him or Kareem as the best player of the 70s. And if we're just talking, we got two of the best players from the 60s, three of the best of the aughts, two of the best of the 10s. I think it's time for the next best guy of the 70s.
It makes sense. Dr. J plays in 1,200 games, 24 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1.7 blocks. I think it's just him and Hakeem that average 2 steals and 1.7 blocks for their careers. And when Dr. J retired, I believe he was number 1 in steals, and I think in the top 5 for blocks. And it's a little finicky because he basically starts playing as soon
as... As soon as they start counting the stat.
They start counting, and he even gets, an extra ABA year because the ABA was keeping track for a little bit longer than the NBA was. They get one more season. But that's part of this, is his defense is there as well. He plays in 6 finals, wins 3 of them. He's 28 points per game, 9 boards. And Basketball Reference is not giving me the assist for some reason, but it looks like about 4.
They didn't keep track of assists in every game.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, there's some spotty mathematics going on here. He does also have chances at getting more rings.
77. He's 30 points, 7 assists, and 30 points, 7 boards, 5 assists on 54% shooting against Bill Walton.
Also, 1980. We talk about the Magic amazing game, and whether or not Kareem could play in Game 7 is... still debatable. I'm personally of the opinion that he probably could not have played. They just said he would play, which is why they were resting him. You know, give him some time to recover for Game 7. I don't think he could have gone had Game 7 happen. Maybe he limps out there or for Willis Reed moral support, but it's...
How about 1982? 25 points per game, 8 boards, 3 assists, 54% from the field. Takes the Lakers to 6. And that's before Moses Malone gets there. That's just Dr. J on his own going to basically 3 finals. 77, it's McGinnis, and it's a pretty good team. But it's still not really geared around him.
Mm-hmm. Even 81, he has another really great run. And this is the thing, is that not everyone's going to hit every shot. So I kind of want guys that are going to have shots and put shots up to win the titles. 81... Celtics win the title. The 76ers push them to Game 7. It's a 1-point game. I don't know who hits a game winner, who misses a game winner, what those final 5 minutes are like. But I know Lionel Hollins went 1-for-9.
Yeah.
I know Tiny Archibald went 3-for-14. Chris Ford, 3-for-10. It's Bird and Irving both play well, and the rest of their team kind of both sucks. And, you know, Bird got a little bit more help from Cedric Maxwell than Irving got from Caldwell Jones. And this is what you need. You need guys who are poised to put their team in that position where their supporting cast can come through.
Absolutely.
So if we lock Irving in at 12, are we okay with Hakeem at 13? This feels like the Hakeem range. I know I keep talking about each era having these many representatives here. I think Jordan dominated the 90s in such a way that I'm okay with Shaq half 90s and the edge of Magic in the 90s. But I think Hakeem truly, if we're just cutting the edge 1990 to 99, Hakeem is probably the second best player of the 90s. I mean, he is the second best player of the 90s. And I like him at 13 here.
I think that's a great spot. I think that's where I have him. I think this is pretty close. I have in my own list this Curry, Kobe, Will, Dr. J, Hakeem stack. So it's good.
You're going to hate this. But that now gives us Oscar, Durant, Karl Malone, Dwayne Wade, and George Mikan as the next five up from each position.
No.
I know when you're saying no, because you had Moses Malone.
No,
Moses Malone.
I not Moses? No, it was It's on my old list. It's Oscar.
Okay.
But I'd like to submit someone I've just been higher on recently. KD, how do you feel about Durant?
I love it because I think we've hit the bulk of the championships, and like the 13 players that we've mentioned are the championship guys. They are the ones who we talk rings about. Once we kind of move out of that ring stage, we're talking a lot about talent. And it's not like Oscar doesn't have rings. It's not like Durant doesn't have rings. It's, yeah, you know, maybe not rings plural for some of these guys here. Or we're looking at one, two, or just a single ring. But I think Durant individually has a ton of talent. And I like it. I like him at 14.
Durant has two chapters in his career. There's the Oklahoma City one. 2010, 2014, it's four scoring titles in 5 years. But he does lead the league in total points every single season. They do go to the finals. They have other Western Conference finals appearances. And that's awesome. That's enough to get you, like, top 30. And then you move on to, even higher than that, you move on to the Golden State years where he gets the team around him. And he doesn't have, it's not like he takes a step back and is a part of something, is a smaller part of something great. He is the best player on those teams, really. Looking at the playoff numbers, it's really just absurd. Let me find the specific run. 2017 in the playoffs, he is 28 points per game, 8 boards, 4 assists on 55% shooting.
But Aaron, does it bother you that he didn't make the playoffs in 2015?
He was hurt.
Yeah, so let's stop saying that about Kareem.
That's a good point. It's a good point,
like Kareem. I mean, he only plays 27. Kareem still plays 60. But, like...
He was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt. Yeah, that his playoff run, just looking 2011 to 2016, 5 playoffs, he gets 85 playoff games in. Like, most finals runs are 20 to 24. So this guy, 85 in 5 years, that's a little bit less than averaging a finals run. Mm-hmm. And in those 5 years, he averages 29 points, 8 rebounds, and just some fantastic shooting numbers. Like, the talent around Durant, I always say this, he didn't have to choose Golden State. Whoever he chose would be the finals favorite. That's everyone true. That came to the Hamptons, Spurs, him, Kawhi, and LaMarcus, they're the favorites now, and he's the best player. Clippers, Paul George, Blake Griffin, they're the favorites. He's the title contender. Boston, maybe not favorites. Him, Isaiah Thomas, and Al Horford, but they're in the conversation, and he's by far the best player. Like, yeah. If anything, it's a shame LeBron didn't build the Cavs to try to bring him in. And maybe he did, and we just never knew.
We never knew. Durant played in 3 finals, essentially, because 2019, he logs 1 game, he barely plays. In those 15 games, he's 30 points, almost 8 boards, 4.5 assists on 54... 45-91 splits. That's arguably the best finals line ever. Smaller sample size than most guys in the top 10, given just the 3 appearances. But when he's healthy, he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
Locking him in. Feel good about it?
Locking him in. The same thing that I've also been saying in about how many rings did he leave on the table? 2016, that 7-game series where they come back from being down 3-1. It's not Durant's fault that they lose that. You know,
whose is it? Does it rhyme with Russell Westbrook?
It doesn't not rhyme with it. Let me tell you, it doesn't not rhyme with it.
I remember watching that series though, and just at the end, and just thinking that KD looked lost. He had a few just really bad turnovers at the end.
Yeah,
it's not a good series. It's not, you know, they didn't lose despite him. He certainly wasn't helping. But go on, the rings he left on the table. Tell me more.
Well, so he leaves that ring on the table. He leaves the Golden State Warrior ring on the table by being hurt. The Milwaukee series, the toe on the line, you know, there's a missing or injured Kyrie, half health with Harden. Like, there's a world where if we replay these games, Durant doesn't have 2 rings. He has 5. And, you know, I think that's kind of the breaks of these games, is it's not just how many you won, but how many you could have won, how many you had your team in position to win. And I think Durant, as much as people love to hate on him, and he's not doing himself favors by his social media presences, I think Durant at 14 is the right spot.
I think it's great. Who are you
feeling? Now it's Oscar.
Now it's Oscar. It's a good spot for it.
It just is, Oscar. Like, when I first crafted The Matrix in 2013, I eyeballed it. And I was like, all right, these should be the best 10 players. And it was basically the top 10 that we have right now, minus Curry and LeBron, because it was 2013. I just didn't think LeBron was there in 2013. On the Ascension, I think he came out 15th in the original Matrix. But it was, you know, Jordan, Kareem, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq, Wilt. Eventually, Oscar was the 10th. And Oscar held on to that 10th for the longest time. And actually, ranking him 15th is probably the lowest I've ever ranked Oscar from just a sheer statistical individual performance. Oscar has a five-year stretch that is really unmatched from any other guard.
There is a real argument, and it's a fucking ridiculous one, but you can make it that he is the greatest offensive player of all time. No one else has matched the three things of efficiency, scoring output, and assist output.
And to the critics that would say that he never won, fair, sure. He did not win. Bill Russell reigns supreme. But he pushes the Celtics to game seven. And in that game seven, he has 43 points, six rebounds, six assists, and just loses. The rest of his team, we're talking Jack Twitman, we're talking Wayne Embry, we're talking Bucky Bockhorn and Adrian Smith. Those are who he went to war with against Bill Russell, Sam Jones, Tommy Heinsohn, Bob Cousy, and John Havlicek. Just top five in minutes played for the other side. You know every name that I mentioned on the Celtics side, and you maybe know Jack Twyman and Wayne Embry on the Royals side.
For Oscar, he is basically every single season he plays for the Royals, he is top five in points per game, top three in assists per game, and top five in true shooting.
It's a statistically marvelous individual performance that led to very little success.
He unfortunately runs into an era that favored defense, and he was so good offensively. Mm-hmm. It just didn't translate. I want to mention something. Do you know him? You know Maurice Stokes?
Yeah.
You heard the story of Maurice Stokes?
Yes.
Let's say Maurice Stokes does not get hurt and does not suffer that brain injury. And all of a sudden, because if he gets hurt in 59, Oscar comes, I think, just a year after that. If they had a center like him or a power forward like him, they could have potentially been able to battle with Russell more. Maurice Stokes is 16 points, 16 boards, and 5 assists for the 3 seasons he plays, and he ends up breaking his neck or hitting his head and then suffering a stroke.
Very potentially. I'm trying to find the year where I think it's 72, that the Bucks lose to the Lakers, and Oscar had not been having a great series against Lakers. He kind of gets hurt in game 5, tries to play in game 6, and only gets 7 minutes in. But when we talk about rings left on the table, Oscar's not hurt. The 72 Lakers probably don't happen. The Bucks were that good. They push the Lakers to 6 and losing those final two. Maybe it happens. The Bucks lose by 1 point in game 2, 3 points in game 3. And with Oscar playing just 7 minutes, lose by 4 points in game 6, whereas they beat the Lakers by 21 and 26. Lakers do get one good win in there by 25. But like, it's an incredibly close series. It's not as impressive a ring for Oscar because he's not there, but we could be talking about Oscar as a multi-ring guy in a lot of different circumstances. So I think Oscar at 15 is a good spot.
I think it's a great spot, and that gives us Jerry West, the point guard, Dwayne Wade, the shooting guard, Elgin Baylor, the small forward, Karl Malone, the power forward, and George Mikan, the center. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I lobbied hard for Mikan over Malone in our centers because Moses Malone really just has this really brief. He's got 3 straight MVPs, or was it 2 MVPs? No, it's 3 MVPs, and they're all relatively close, and they don't result in playoff success. I hate the idea that MVP is a popular vote or is a fan thing. No, it's based on the regular season, which doesn't make it better or worse. It just, hey, David Robinson won the MVP and then got cooked by Hakeem in the playoffs. It just,
Karl Malone. Yeah, it
happens sometimes. You were the best player for these 82 games, and you get into the playoffs where scheming, different things matter differently. And I think Moses came up pretty short.
It's so strange diving into Moses because you're like, this guy played for 21 years and was really good for most of them, and also has the peak in all these years leading league in rebounds, and he's like 30 points per game. There has to be something. Like, there has to be something like really awesome that makes him like one of the 10 best players ever. You can't really find it. Now, I think his run to the finals in 81, is that correct? 81?
Yeah. No.
Is off. 81.
Oh, yep.
Is awesome, and he is fantastic. And then obviously the 83 Sixers are one of the 10 best teams ever. But that's basically it. He goes 81 and then 83, and then it's over.
It's just such a short window. And that's, we talked about Mikan being legitimately the best player in the world. The championships ran through him. I actually, this is a huge deviation from my matrix, and probably common basketball logic, just looking at the many writers' polls that I have. I wouldn't hate Mikan at this spot. Just talking about what we value, talking about the potential MVPs that he should have if they had the award.
And even the rings he left on the table. Has won. He basically won every single year he played, and the one he didn't win, he probably should have.
And if we cared about NBL history because of the merger between BAA and NBL, which is just wild that we don't. We talk about the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Warriors as being like the original teams. Mm-hmm. The Pistons existed for 10 years prior to them.
That's true. Maybe there.
The Nationals, which would become the Royals, which would become the Kings, existed like...
Yeah.
And they existed in other leagues. Do you want to know what their original name was?
Go ahead.
Or who their original corporate sponsor was?
Tell me.
Seagram's.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because it was back when every like corporation would have a team to like advertise for their thing, which is kind of fun.
We talk about, because I like Mike, but I feel like we might be overlooking Jerry West a little bit.
Oh, yeah. West is my other option. I'm totally chill with West.
I think I'm more happy going West than Mike, because Mike leads you to a championship. In that era, basketball is still kind of forming. Segregation is questionable. Jerry West, well, not the key to a championship, certainly a key to a finals appearance. Elgin Baylor's obviously still there. Go ahead.
Yeah, but Baylor's very diminished after his injury. And West in 9 finals averages 30 points per game.
Yeah. He has the most finals points of all time.
It's wild. West has a 7 or a 6 game finals where he averages 38 points per game. Like, it's a 7. I don't know what more you could ask from West. And they lose. They lose by 2 points. They made a great run. Wilt Chamberlain got benched. Wilt tries to check back in. The coach talks him off. And they lose very barely. West, 42 points, 12 rebounds. Or sorry, 13 rebounds, 12 assists in game 7. It's an amazing game that, you know, still results in the Celtics finals in 69.
For someone who's lost in the finals 8 times, Jerry West never has a bad finals.
True.
That's what's most impressive. It's just with Russell's logic-defying winning, there comes a Jerry West logic-defying losing. West also has the record for most points per game in the playoff series, 46.3 against the Baltimore, 1965.
Interesting. All right, so if we lock in West at 16, now we have some very questionable calls out there. We've got Karl Malone, who has kind of stopped becoming a joke at this point. We have Dwayne Wade, third best shooting guard. We have Elgin Baylor, the 5th best small forward. We have George Mikan, the 7th best center. And we have Chris Paul as our 5th best point guard option.
Let's see. I think this is Mikan's spot.
I think so too.
And then we can, because I think after that we can go into Karl Malone. It feels like the tiers of players kind of work like that.
I would also accept a Moses Malone. I think Moses over Carl is a Malone stance that I like. But Mikan, I think the most important thing about Mikan is that he ends different leagues. Like, there was a lot of fighting from when professional basketball begins in 1898 to 1950. There's a lot of different fights for supremacy. Different leagues hold it. There's, of course, always the barnstorming teams, the wonderful Harlem Globetrotters, the New York Renaissance, the original New York Celtics. there's some really good barnstorming teams. And once the fusion of the BAA and the NBL happens, you have the best players, the biggest star in the biggest arenas, and barnstorming goes away. Prior to Mike and joining, and even a little bit Mike in his first year, the Globetrotters were still the biggest draw, and the Knicks would sell tickets to Globetrotters games to play in front as like the opening act to try to bring in a crowd for their games. And really, it was like a, hey, we know you want to see them, but we're trying to market our product, so we're going to sell them first. And like, you know, it should have been flipped. It's like when you go to see the opening band, you're like, I guess I'll stay for the headliner. And Mike and ends that.
Yeah.
The NBA desegregates in 1950. The NBL had desegregated prior to that. There were African-American players and the NBL a little mixed in. They also had a full black team in the NBL for a couple of seasons. It's not like they're super progressive and pioneering, but they were better than other sports leagues.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the wave. I took a sports sociology class in college, and one test question was, which professional league was the first to have an African-American player? And I had to ask the professor, I was like, do you mean basketball because they signed the guy first? Do you mean football because he played first? Or do you mean baseball because they were desegregated in like 1912?
Mm-hmm.
But then they resegregated and then desegregated after the other two. And he just looked at me and he just like put a check on it. He's like, you're good.
Just... you passed the test. I feel great about Mike at 17. Although it opens up something I hadn't realized, which is the Moses Malone. Because Mikan comes in, then it's Moses up to bat for the centers. And I do like Moses over Karl Malone, just given... Oh,
it's one of my favorite things to ask people of who is your preferred Malone.
It's closer than you think. You look at it, you're like, oh, duh, three MVPs and the ring and the other finals appearances. But you could argue that Karl Malone's playoff success is better than Moses.
Yeah. Also, you could argue just center is more important.
Who has more MVP share? Let's see. Carl does. Carl's 8th in MVP shares. Moses is 17th. Carl has almost twice as many.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
No, it's not. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Carl Malone played in the Western Conference and Moses Malone played in Philadelphia.
Tell me why.
You're asking why. I see the look and you verbally just said it. NBA media has long been dominated by people from the Northeast. New Yorkers and Massachusettsians.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason Jackie Mack writes the why not Karl Malone for MVP?
Yeah.
It's to screw with Jordan getting MVPs. This Northeastern quadrant waves their big dick around and doesn't like supporting 76ers, doesn't want to support her other East Coast teams that aren't Boston. Or the Knicks. It's why Knicks players get this massive overrating. And like 76ers kind of get the brunt end of this. Meanwhile, Malone has to win because otherwise Jordan's going to continue to tarnish Bird's legacy by winning more MVPs.
So who, given this, who are you taking for your next spot? For the 18th place?
I'll take like Moses. All Moses right. was dominant. Carl existed. Great. Carl was consistently existing, but man, I'm going to get real disrespectful and say, what is Carl Malone other than just a very good version of Montrezl Harrell?
Damn. Yeah, I guess. It's like, yeah.
I'm going to continue the disrespect and say that this brings up David Robinson. And who would you really rather have? David Robinson? Oh, actually, no, it doesn't. Sorry. I apologize.
It brings up Patrick Ewing.
It brings up Patrick Ewing. And would you rather have Patrick Ewing or would you rather have Carl Malone?
I would rather have Karl Malone, Nate.
All right, that's fair.
I would. I think, you know, the two finals appearances and just a consistently dominant player for so long. And Ewing has his run, and Ewing's like the lesser Eastern Conference version of what Karl Malone's doing in the West. But there's tiers to this. There's levels to how good they were. Ewing, you know, Ewing never wins an MVP, and he's never particularly close either. He's 36 in MVP shares, and he's around people who do have MVPs, which is fair.
I think Ewing gets really screwed in awards. Like there's years where he's fourth in MVP and doesn't get an All-NBA team.
That's true.
You know, if you look at who were the MVP candidates from this year, the difference between 2 and 5 is not that big. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 is Embiid, was 5 Jason Tatum. When we walk away at the end of the year, who were we more happy with?
Tatum.
Yeah. Tatum ended up having the better year. He got his team farther. But it's a regular season award. And this was where we came down with discussing Patrick Ewing versus David Robinson. Robinson generally has a better regular season. And then if we look at 90 to 96, Ewing does a lot more in the playoffs.
He does. I had made my videos talking about Ewing and Robinson, and most people just said, well, Dave Robinson's better. Yeah, but like Patrick Ewing's winning playoff series. What do you want? Like, are you happy with Robinson winning MVP and then getting his ass handed to him? Like, I think I remember this because I recorded it 17,000 times, but Robinson plays in 11 playoff series before he gets hurt. He wins 5 of them. He plays well in 6 and meh to bad in the rest, and then it's over. Like, that's it. Meanwhile, Ewing is like going to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals. He battles Michael Jordan and plays really well against him twice. There's a resume here. And even in 99, where Ewing goes down and the Ewing theory kind of starts, he's still playing pretty well. He's showing that he could have been what David Robinson was in the 99 Spurs in 99. He's like, he can be this kind of 15-10 on a title team.
Yeah. From 90 to 96, which is very arguably both their peaks. You know, Patrick Ewing might have a few more early years. Dave Robinson might, you know, you kind of say some of the later. But their peaks is that run. That's where they're in the MVP conversation. Dave Robinson plays 53 playoff games. Patrick Ewing plays 84. That's, I mean, if we talk 20-something is usually a championship or a finals run, that's a finals run and a half more. Like, it's a staggering difference. I don't know that I'm quite up to making the Patrick Ewing should be number 20.
I think it's a little early, but I think I'm still high on Ewing.
Yeah, but taking Karl Malone off the board gives us the opportunity to make Dirk number 20 or Dwayne Wade.
I like Dirk.
Elgin Baylor.
These are all good picks. I still like Dirk. Dirk, I like Dirk is too. Dirk is Wade is kind of similar to David Robinson, where he gets the title, which is why he'll probably be ahead of Robinson. But Wade is really good to start, wins a title in his third year. Is it third? Third year. Deals with some injuries, and then it's over. It's like a 6-year stretch of combined games because he's hurt for most of it. And then he's second fiddle to LeBron. And now 2011, he's probably one of the 10 best players in the world. But by 2012, 2013, he's closer to like 20, 30. By 2014, he's one of the 35 best players in the world. You could have gotten Wade as a second option on the 2013 Heat from other guys. It's not this insane duo. It's LeBron being arguably at his peak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if Wade had been healthy and really 2007, 8, and 9, we're talking about a very different career for him. And unfortunately, health happens. But he came into the league old at 22. He has, two good years, 05, 06. 05, he is the second fiddle. 06, he takes over the mantle. And then really 07, 08, 09, that should have been his apex.
Or doesn't not, really it, happen. It never really clicks.
And then really even you should say like 10 through 12 should have been his apex. That's 28 to 30 age-wise, but the health injuries continue to drag him down. I think Dirk is the right call here at number 20. Mm. He loses in 06, but that run I think is just – his 06 run, I'm going to say it, it's better than Dwayne Wade's 06 run.
Damn.
It is.
Damn. Really quickly, if we get into that. Dwayne Wade, this is something I mentioned on TikTok and got dragged for it because people don't understand MVP shares. Dwayne Wade is 55th in MVP shares. And that what I was trying to say in those videos is MVP shares isn't a way to rank players, but this tells you something.
Yeah.
This gives you a gauge on how dominant players are. You're going to tell me Dwayne Wade is like the 20th best player or as high as 20 is fine. Like, I'm not going to kill you over 20. The 15th best player ever, and he's never in the MVP conversation. He has one top five finish, and that's it. That's not one of the 15 best players ever. And you could be like, oh, well, awards and whatnot. Like, no, like, I care about that. Like, be an MVP frontrunner. Like, let's see it. And Wade never, like you said, like, Wade kind of gets those years taken from him because he's one of the lucky few to have the way too early runs that actually went well. Like, it actually finishes. It's not the 2012 Thunder or the Celtics last year. He is there too early, but it actually works out. And then the refs helped him. Then he got a bunch of foul calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you name the starters from the Mavs 06 run?
Jason Terry.
Well, actually, let me back this up.
Okay.
They started 9 different guys in the playoffs. Okay. I'm going to give you 3 strikes, but I want to see how many you get.
Jason Terry.
One.
Is it Josh Howard? I was just looking at it.
Josh Howard.
Josh Howard. Jerry Stackhouse.
Jerry Stackhouse starts one game. Yes.
Starts one game. Did they start Sagan a job?
18 games. 18 of the 22.
Yeah. Spencer Haywood's not there yet. That is, I'm thinking of a different Mavs run. They might have come back. I think that's all I got. 06 Mavs. And I made this point. I should send you the video where I'm like, I talk about how we talk about how Garnett had no help. It's not like Dirk had a ton of help either. Dirk has forced drug those guys. He had 4 seasons with an all-star teammate. It's 2 Nash years, it's Josh Howard, and it's 1 Jason Kidd season. He has more seasons as the only all-star on a team than Garnett does.
So the other guys that you didn't mention, which includes the 5th starter,
okay.
And I don't blame you for not getting the 5th starter here, because Devin Harris starts 15 games. This is 22-year-old Devin Harris. Harris gets better, but this is too early for Devin. Like, the future of this team was supposed to be Devin Harris and Josh Howard, and it just doesn't happen.
No.
Also, Sagan Jop was 24. They start Adrian Griffin 8 games. They start Keith Van Horn 3 games. And Eric Dampier 2 games in the playoffs.
Can you fucking imagine if Dirk had Shaq? I just want to throw that out there. Like, Wade has Shaq. That would have been nice. It's Dirk on his own, essentially. I mean, he has Nash and, like, Michael Finley. And, like, there's reasons why the 02 Mavs are really good and even 03. But still.
Which the Heat, major spacing issues here. They're starting Dwayne Wade, Antoine Walker, Shaq, Jason Williams, Udonis Haslem, and James Posey picks up one game.
Antoine Walker is the spacing. He is a one man spacing machine.
And you can look at the 2 years that they have and statistically say Wade averaged a hair more in scoring. And then Dirk. Dirk is a significantly better rebounder, Wade better passer. You look at it, I look at it and say Dirk had a better run. Dirk carried his team more. He got to the finals. Massive foul trouble throughout the whole Mavs roster or during the finals run. Wade has a better finals. Mm-hmm. Dirk has a better regular season playoffs up to the finals. I think Dirk at 20 is probably the right spot here. And probably when we pick this back up, because I think it's a good place to cut.
Yeah, I think so too.
But just a little preview, probably going to go Dwayne Wade at 21.
Okay.
Maybe. This is leaving us with Patrick Ewing, next best center on the board. Dwayne Wade, next best shooting guard. Giannis Antetokounmpo, next best power forward. Elgin Baylor, next best small forward. And Chris Paul, next best point guard.
It's good stuff. I think that's a fun selection. So we finish with Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Bill, Duncan, Shaq, Magic, Bird, Kobe, Curry, Wilt, Dr. J, Hakeem, Kevin Durant, Oscar, Wes, Mikan, Moses Malone, Karl Malone, and Dirk. It's a great top 20.
I think it's the right one.
I think so too.